Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to part 2 of Next on the Tee. We're not done yet. Coming up, more stories, more insight, and more reasons to love this game. Let's dive right back in. Part 2 starts now, right here on Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better.
Hey, Next on the Tee Nation, thank you so much for coming back and pressing play on part 2 of this week's show featuring my conversations with Kip Henley and Aaron Waltz. Now, you guys know Kip. We talked a little bit about this in the intro of the main show, but this is a guy who has been a fantastic caddy out on tour for many years. Been on the bags for some legends like Vijay Singh, Brian Gay, Boo Weekly, Stuart Sink, just to name a few. And a guy who, in my opinion, should be in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame because he's won everything you could win in the state of Tennessee. I went down the list of that a little earlier on in the beginning of the first part of this show, and now you'll hear it when I do his introduction. But look, this guy's earned the right to be in there. What's keeping him out? I cannot imagine. Anyway, we get into a lot of wonderful topics with Kip. He's a fantastic storyteller. We'll get into some of the big wins that he's had, some of the wins he was on the bag for. Plus, he shares a few of the regrets he's had, some of the guys he's quit, and really wishes that he had an opportunity to go back and change some of those things. But look, Kip is just a wonderful human being, one of my all-time favorite guests. This is the 6th time I've had the privilege of getting to spend some time with him. I know you're going to love Kip's segment. I think you're going to be blown away by my conversation with Aaron Waltz. Aaron is the VP of sales for our friends over at Unicor. As I'm sure all of you are aware, look, the in-home simulator market is just exploding. The graphics are unbelievably good, so lifelike, and Unicor has captured that. And now they are making more affordable in-home simulators. The simulators that, oh, by the way, when you're not using it for that, you can use it as an in-home theater. We'll talk about that. You'll hear him weigh in on how that happens. But look, these things are unbelievable, and they're becoming unbelievably affordable, especially when you do all the math with the time spent away from family, with the cost of going out as a family to play golf or go to places like Topgolf and all of those sorts of things. When you start to really start to look at the dollars, it makes a lot of sense to have an in-home simulator, and it's so much fun. It's fun for the whole family. You can develop your junior players. They've got AI technology that can actually give you lessons. It's really scary. You got to look at this, folks. Plus, it's a great way to bring not only family but friends together. You can actually play online. You can compete against your buddies wherever they are in the world. Just get online together. It's just an amazing thing. I just think you're going to be blown away by the information, the technology, and the affordability of what we're seeing in the in-home simulator market now. Aaron is fantastic, and he's so engaging. I think you're going to love that part of the show as well. So as always, I can't thank you enough for coming back, making Next on the Tee a part of your regular golf content. So sit back, relax, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next hour or so. Okay, but before we get into all of that, I want to start off by reminding you about our wonderful friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2UNDR.com. Two Under, performance in your pants.
Sure, this is golf, but so is this. And this. And this is definitely golf. And so is this. Hey, that's not golf. Oh, wait, yeah, it is. And no matter what your golf is, you're gonna need a store. No, a superstore. A place to get fit for a new club and walk out with it the same day. A place to find the perfect fit. A place to do whatever this is. Because this is golf. And this is golf's superstore.
Okay, now back in making his sixth appearance with me here on Next on the Tee is PGA Tour caddy and one of the great people in our game, Kip Henley. Let me remind you about Kip's background. He's from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and is one of the most decorated players in the history of the state of Tennessee. He was the Chattanooga City Prep Champion and the winner of the Ewing Watkins Award for being the outstanding junior golfer in the city. He played his college golf over at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, where he lettered every year from 1979 to 1982. In the 81-82 season, Kip played in four tournaments. He had a top five, a top 10, and finished second on the team in scoring average. And he finished in the top five at the Southern Conference Championship. In 82, Kip was named All-Southern Conference. That season, he also had a top 20 finish at the Marshall Invitational. Kip has been a PGA Class A professional since 1988. He played out on the Hooters NGA Tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, and a few times out on the PGA Tour. He won the Tennessee Assistant Pro Championship, the Tennessee Section Championship four times, the Tennessee State Open twice, once as an amateur in 1982, and once as a professional 15 years later in 1997. He's been named Tennessee Player of the Year five times. He won the Golf Channel's Big Break 2 in 2004. He had back-to-back top 20s in the Tennessee Senior State Open in 2017 and 18. Then in 2023, he drained a 20-footer from the fringe on the last hole to win the Tennessee State Senior Open Championship. He backed that up by being the top amateur finisher back in June at that same Senior Open Championship. In 2014, the Chattanooga newspaper, the Chattanoogan, ranked Kip the eighth best golfer of all time from the city. In 2017, he was inducted into the Chattanooga Sports Hall of Fame, and he should be in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, and I couldn't be more honored. He is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Kipper, how are you, my friend?
You make me sound like I had an okay career there, bud.
Yeah, you certainly did have an okay career. Holy cow, how are you not in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame? How has that not happened?
I really don't know. I've been at the edge of great stuff my whole career. And I mean, I've won a fair share of events, but really on the national scene, besides the Big Break, I really haven't accomplished much. So maybe they're just looking at my national record, which is very mediocre at best.
I don't see how you could say anything that you have accomplished is mediocre at best. You're part of the 1% of the 1%er. First of all, before we get into more stuff, how you doing? You told me you tore a quad, which has got to be extremely painful.
Oh, my goodness. It is sore from my kneecap all the way to my hip. But dummy us, I got the great idea of us joining. I thought we were going to join a senior softball league. You know, I kind of grew up in the softball world. My father played a lot of baseball and some softball, you know, 35 years ago. I still play in a little church league and stuff. And I got the great idea that me and my buddies, we should start it up. And I thought we were going to join a senior league where it'd be a bunch of old guys like us. But our guy who put it all together put us in like a mixed league. You got to have like three girls in your lineup. But we're playing young guns. And let's see, what injury am I? I was like, I made it through the first week with no injuries. And the second week, I took off to jog. And boy, as soon as I took off to jog, this pregame, I felt something kind of twinge in my thigh right there, you know. I thought, whoa, that ain't good. And my first at bat, I hit a kind of like a dribbler towards third, so I had to get on down to first base. I always say that I'm the fastest 65-year-old, 5'8", 230-pound white man on the face of the earth. I got wheels. I know it's a small category. It narrows down the more categories I get in there. But I still got wheels. But, man, I got about halfway down to first base on that dribble towards third. And, boy, something went on fire in my quad. And I don't know how you can pull anything on the front of your muscle, your leg, but I did. You know, I've had a couple of little tiny hammy pulls and a groin pull, you know, when I was young and playing a lot of sports, but I hadn't pulled anything in years. And boy, I pulled that. And that's 2 weeks ago, and it still ain't, it's still not even close to being right. So. But I don't know, playing that old man softball, we're laughing at each other, dropping, you know. I played first base the night, three straight throws to first base, touched my glove and didn't stay in it. So needless to say, we've lost a few steps, but we laugh at each other and have fun. We're still pretty competitive. So
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we love it.
Kipper, I want to go back into your career. The Stonehenge Golf Club in your hometown of Crossville, Tennessee, has been very good to you over the years. Take us back to June when you added the Tennessee State Senior Amateur title for, like what I say, should be your Hall of Fame career.
Did I didn't win the state am?
Well, they certainly listed you as the amateur winner.
No, I didn't. How did you list that? And
Wow, they even had you on the money, winning $750 for your trouble.
Oh, well, you know what I did? I won low am in the state open again. So okay. That's what I, this two kind of tour players beat me in the state open, right? I had my third state open title. Little Gibby Gilbert, who's a stud, plays his fair share of senior tour events, and Cliff Kresge, who had full tour status a bunch of years. Those were the only two cats that beat me. So I had another good run. It was the Tennessee Senior State Open again. So
got it.
I didn't defend worth a hoot last year, you know, but I'd won it the year before.
Right.
I finished, I don't know, 15th or 12th, 10th last year or whatever. I don't even know where I finished. It wasn't a very good defense. But this year, and I mean, I haven't been playing that great this year, but I went back to the old stomping ground, Stonehenge, and found a couple of things that worked for the week. I think I shot 300 for 2 days. It was playing pretty difficult. You know, the rough was up. It's such a tough little track that I don't know why I play it well other than I just know it so well. It doesn't fit my game, man. You got to really – it's really – you get a lot of claustrophobia on a bunch of tee balls there, man. You got to squeeze it out there.
So let's go back to 2023 when you won the state senior championship. You were tied for second going into the final round. You were tied for the lead going into the last hole, and then you drained an amazing putt to win it. Take us through getting that W.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, for being near the lead, I've probably told this story, a bunch of people have heard it, but you'll just have to sit here and listen to it again. The night before the last round, one of the guy who hired me in the Glade, the big guy, Warren Huddleston, we called him the big guy, he passed the year, you know, like, 6 months prior to the state open. And his wife reached out that night, you know, and said that the big guy would be so proud of me for what I'm doing, you know, and before the last round. And boy, you know, I think about the big guy a lot. Whenever I go to the Glade, I think about the big guy all the time. And he was a little bit on my brain for her to reach out that night. It kind of touched me a little bit, you know, and I decided I'm going to go out there tomorrow and not be nervous. So I'm going to go play a good round of golf for the big guy. And I took off, and I was playing really good, but I knew I was up around the lead. You can see the scoring on the phone now with that scoring system on the phone. And I knew I was in around the lead. And I looked on 17T, and I had a one-shot lead on the guys that were in the clubhouse. There was two guys in the clubhouse already posted. And the guy I was playing with, I had him by one or two at the time too. And 17, I hit it on 17. It's a tough pin, tough green, brutally tough. And I had it like a 20 footer up the hill, and I left it about 3.5-4 feet short, and absolutely threw up all over myself on that putt to, you know, to stay one ahead. And man, I was feeling the heat. So I tapped in for my bogey. So now I'm tied for the lead, and now I'm, you know, my heart's in my throat. I'm nervous. I know I'm throwing up. I get on 18T, we got a little bit of a wait. And I said to myself, I gave myself a talk to him. I said, I am not going to let this happen. I've let it happen a bunch of times in my career, you know, throw up at the end. You know, I've got it done a few times, but I've thrown a few away from being just And I said, I'm not doing that. I said, I'm not getting in a I said, I am birding. And 18 is a bear of a hole. It's a tough hole with a tough back right pin place, two-tier green, rough everywhere around it, bunkers. And I told myself before I hit that tee ball, I said, I am not letting these guys get me in a playoff. I am winning this golf tournament. And I hit a I can't remember if I hit a rescue or three wood and got it on down there pretty close and had an 8-iron in there and hit a beautiful shot. Kind of got a little unlucky and it skipped through into the back fringe. And then, of course, it was never going to be a chip, even if I could chip worth of crap. I have the chip yips now. I can't hardly chip for nothing anymore. But it was going to be a putt no matter, you know, Tiger Woods was putting this ball. It was just maybe a foot in the fringe and it was nice grass. And I read it and I hit the putt out there and I'd overread it. When the putt was going down the hill, I mean, it had like 2.5 feet of break in this thing going down the hill. And all of a sudden at the end, man, it slowed down and it's like the big guy or the golf god granted me one because it swung hard left, caught the back lip, fell in. And man, it was just just an exciting moment. And if you ever get to see the video, I look up into the sky and I scream, big guy, you know, because I felt like he was with me at that time. But that's a long story to being at where I used to be the golf professional. I was never at Stonehenge, but it was one of the four golf courses in the Glade. I was at Heatherhurst, and I used to play most of my golf at Stonehenge because it was such a great place to practice. It's bent grass wall to wall and just mint condition most of the year and not as busy as the other one. So I did a crap ton of practicing up there. So it's a dear place to my heart. To get a win there, it's pretty special. It's such a dramatic fashion, too. So that one will go down in my career is one of the best. So.
No doubt. So, but I want to talk about that piece. Now, you said you've thrown up on yourself a number of times, but rising to the occasion like you did there on 18. I mean, it's hard to do whether, you know, you're just playing your buddies in a Nassau to come down and have an opportunity to win your state open championship. Rise up to the occasion, give yourself that pep talk, and then to go out there and execute it, that's not something a lot of people can do.
No. And I've only done, you know, as many tournaments. Chris, if you think about how many golf tournaments I've played, and goodness gracious, I was a club pro for 100 years and played everything in the state. I mean, getting wins is hard. Everybody knows that. Winning's hard. I always had a knack for something in me. You know, I won probably more than my fair share of events. I was somehow, even though I would have, I mean, I missed it from like 18 inches one time to tie Gibby Gilbert in the second championship. And I mean, it wasn't just a miss from 18 inches. It was a puke. I mean, I absolutely just puked the putt bad. And so I know what it's like to fail in the game of golf is that way, you know. I've always said for every one good thing that comes your way in a game of golf, 10 terrible things come at you first, you know. It's a game of hard knocks. And well, you got to be resilient to get it done. And it's for years to get it done. And I've kept myself kind of healthy, even though I'm fat. I've kept myself healthy with this caddying and everything. So. I still get it out there pretty far for an old fat guy, too, you know.
You also rose to the occasion in the big break. I mean, it was just that. I mean, go back and talk to everybody, remind everybody about what it was like for you to come down the stretch and win that thing.
I mean, what an amazing 11 days that was. They filmed the whole thing. And if you're a golf nut, you go back to the big break days and you watched our episode, you know, Big Break 2, our series. You know that it was, it's not because I won it, it's just because the way it was set up, it was in its infancy and in the game. It was just a better show in those days. It was about guys trying to make it. Then they ended up bringing celebrities on and it kind of lost. And they strung it out. Good Lord, there's like 14 big breaks or something like that, I think. But a lot of, you know, there's a handful of tour players come through that show. But on Big Break 2, man, it was it. You know, Big Break 1, exploded onto the Golf Channel, and about I started watching about halfway through, and I mean the golf nut had something to tie. That's in the days of what was that show that the great show where everybody got eliminated each night? What was the name of that show that started that? Oh shoot,
talking about Survivor, those kinds
Survivor.
Of-
yes, that was golf Survivor, and Survivor was at full power then too, you know, and so they kind of spun off Survivor and gave us a golf Survivor. So the golf nuts followed our big break too, like crazy. So it kind of put me on the golf map where I wasn't in the prior to that, you know, I was kind of on the golf map in Tennessee for playing in the state open state events all my career. But I wasn't nothing on the national scene whatsoever until that. And that kind of put me in the national spotlight for a little while. I had my 15 minutes. But what an amazing 11 days. They filmed the whole thing in 11 days. And I won it on my birthday, July 19th, out in the desert in Las Vegas. And then it bring it out. The final show didn't air until December 6th. So I had to set on that, you know, all, knowing that I had won that. And we couldn't talk. We had a confidentiality contract, so I couldn't talk about it to anyone, no one. And my wife was the only person that knew. My kids didn't know. No one knew. My brother didn't know. None of my brothers and sisters knew. And my mom and dad didn't know. So they were having watch parties, things. Boy, it was just a special 5 or 6 months there. And to get it done, it was pretty cool.
Kip, I want to dip back into your caddy days because we've all watched great players lose big leads in tournaments. You were on the bag when Brian Gay won at Harbortown in 2009. He did so by 10 strokes, but he started out that final round only up by 3, but then went out and started birdie eagle to increase it to 6. How did you keep Brian locked in and focused so he didn't go into like the prevent defense mode and let it all slip away?
Well, he had won the year before. He had won Mayakoba for his first win. 08. He'd won that tournament by 3 shots, you know. And even though Brian Gay had been a tour player for 8 years when I signed on, he had no win. You know, he was an accomplished player in college stuff, you know, and he was all SEC and won he won a ton of stuff in college. And he won every level he was ever on. Juniors, high school, seniors. He won at every level he was ever on, not seniors. I mean, senior in high school and then college. But once he got to the tour, he didn't win. And I don't know. I was – obviously, I can't – the guy was on tour for 8 years before I signed on, so it had nothing to do with me. But I think me having a little bit more of a winning mentality and stuff, he would get so mad at me, I would talk to him about winning every day. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. It was like our third event together, and we rode into the parking lot, and I was in the car with him, and I knew the golf course a little bit. I can't remember where it was at, but I remember saying the words, man, this place is perfect. This thing fits you. I said, you can win this week. And he said to me, there you go again. I said, what? He goes, there you go again, talking about winning. It's only Tuesday. We don't talk about winning. I go, well, you need to fire me today. I said, because all I'm going to talk about winning, you know. And I mean, it took us a year to get a W, but man, I tell him every day, every single day, hey, we're practicing to win. We're coming in this thing to win. We're going to win. You're going to win. We do this, we practice, we do the process, we'll win. And he ended up finally getting a win. Then we got 2 in that next year. The first one was Hilton Head, and like I said, you said he won by 10, but I think you said we started the last day with 3-shot lead or 4-shot lead. I can't remember.
Yeah, 3 shots. 3 shots.
But he was so on top. You know, the golf gods were shining on us. We kept getting a couple of breaks here and there. I noticed, you know, and some great up and downs to keep rounds going. And I knew he was completely on top of his game. And we already had a win the year before. And I remember telling him on the way to the first tee, I said, dude, you stick to your process and commit. All day, I said, they're never beating you today, bud. I said, well, you'll win this thing by 8 shots today. I said, if you just play with committed golf, it's all it'll take. And I talk about winning, going to the tee. But then once you're on the golf course, then you stop the winning talk, you know. Then you're 100% processed then. And you're all about staying in the moment, not letting him get ahead, not letting him get behind. But he had a brilliant golf mind. I'm not taking any credit for what Brian Gay did on the tour. I was just happened to be with him. But he won that thing by 10 shots. And then so his first win was by 3, his second win was by 10. And then like 2 months later, he won Memphis, you know, the FedEx, where they just finished this week. He won that one by 5. First 3 wins were 3 shots, 10 shots, 5 shots. I bet that's a record. But we had a good career, and we had 1 or 2 breakups in there. Once over money, I was dumb. And then another time he got injured, just wasn't playing anything. I did maybe the dumbest thing I'd ever done in my caddy career, and I quit him to go to work for VJ because Brian Gay just wasn't playing anything. And I didn't know how green my grass was when I had Brian Gay. You know, I really felt like I would get bagged. VJ had wanted me then, and I just thought, you know, as soon as I finish VJ, then I'll get someone else and go on and on and on. And I didn't realize how green my grass was with Brian Gay. So, you know, the players are guilty of that too. They fire caddies a lot, thinking they, you know, they see a caddy do a good job. Think, well, if I had that guy, I'd win more. And then they get rid of the guy who they had success with. It's a finicky thing out there, you know. The brain will play tricks on you. But I left BG as a very dumb decision.
So let's talk about changing of caddies, because we've seen guys like Colin Morikawa. I think he's on his 5th caddy now for this season. I mean, at some point, Kip, and I know it's easier, you know, because you're looking at it from the perspective of a caddy, but at some point, doesn't the player have to look at themselves and go, you know what? It's not the clubs, it's not the ball, mm-hmm. it's not the caddy, it's me. I've got to commit, or I've got to do something different with the way I'm playing or how I'm viewing things. I can't just keep throwing away equipment and caddies and think that's going to solve my problem.
There's a lot of truth to that. You know, that was one thing Brian Gay was always so good. It's one of the reasons I stayed with him so long. He always took ownership of his game. He never blamed me for his mistakes. I blamed me up for a lot of his mistakes, but he never blamed me for his mistakes. And so he took ownership of his game, but there's most of those guys PGA Tour do not take ownership, you know. And Jack Nicklaus, he didn't take ownership. You know, he always said it was something else. It's always his caddy's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And that's the way some great brains work, you know. And it keeps them from laying, taken away from their inside, you know. So I get it. And if I would have been a tour player, unless I just like smoked them every year, I would probably switch caddies here and there too. And the golf fans now, because of social media, they think, oh, what's up with these caddy changes, Kip? I got this thing on Twitter, you know, on X. People say, man, what is it with all the caddy changes? And I go, it's no different than it's ever been. It's always been caddy changes. But because of social media, you guys get to find out about it, you know. And for my Twitter career, that's the one thing I've been too honest, you know. I mean, I never cross the bro code with my player and say anything, you know, negative about my players or anything. But I was honest. You know, I would get on Twitter, hey, I got fired today, you know. And I don't blame him or whatever it is. So the golf fans are getting to hear about it now, but you didn't get to used to hear about it. But Morikawa having such an amazing career, him switching caddies 5 times is pretty amazing to me. If it's truly on his 5th caddy, you never know. You don't know what caused it. His caddy that he had so much success with, JJ, is one of my dear friends in life, and he's a brilliant golfer. The guy can really go. And who knows what put the wedge in between them, and he thought maybe the grass would be greener on the other side. And you know, he's had some success anyway, not like he had then, but he still had plenty of success. So who knows what caused the breakup? You don't know. It's a finicky thing. The caddy player thing is as fragile as a bird.
I would think if I were a young guy that was coming out onto the Korn Ferry Tour, just getting my feet wet on the PGA Tour, you'd be the perfect caddy. A guy who's got a world of experience playing at high level, who's been in the pressure situation, that you would be the kind of guy that could take a young player aside and teach them how to win, how to get over the hump, how to prepare, how to go out there and have a strategy and a game plan. You seem like the perfect kind of guy that could do that sort of thing. I'm surprised that there aren't more guys, young guys, knocking down your
door. Well, you know, my father, growing up, if I ever said anything positive about myself, he'd slap you. He wouldn't let you say cocky stuff. I don't want to be cocky, but the truth is, you're 100% correct. I could 100% help anybody get better at the game. It's all I know in life. I don't know nothing about nothing. You know, I know a little bit about being a father and a husband, but I don't know nothing about anything, but I know God. And I know I could help someone win. But I think, you know, I quit. I've been with Heath Slocum for a year, you know, and about 40 or 50 days ago, because his status was so limited, I quit him. And I hated to do it. He's a dear friend in life. He'll always be a dear friend of mine. But we weren't exactly killing it, you know. We weren't doing terrible, but I felt like he was underachieving. He knew he was kind of underachieving. And his status was so limited, he wasn't getting in anything. So I made the decision 40 days ago, hey, bud, let's part ways, you know. And I don't think I'm doing you any good, and I just need to get more work. And I hate it, but let's break up, you know, kind of part way. And he agreed, and it's fine. He was cool with it. He's my dear friend in life. He's never going to be mad at me. And so I quit him, hoping once I quit him, someone would say, well, Kip is unattached, so maybe they'll come and get me. Well, the phone hadn't rang one time. So me and the wife, we're at a crossroads in my career, Chris. And, you know, maybe I've gotten too old. Maybe I'm just too fat. I don't know. And maybe my Twitter presence is too much for some guys, or maybe I talk too much. I don't know what it is, but the phone ain't is quit ringing. So, yes, I could 100% make a guy better at the game of golf. I hate to say something cocky like that, but I know I can.
I've been
doing a little teaching around home, and I'm probably going to start to go that direction. You know, In fact, Thursday, I'm helping a good friend, old high school friend of mine. I used to play basketball against Gary Partridge, and he's coach at Baylor School here in Chattanooga, which is an amazing private high school. It used to be an all-boys private school. You know, Chattanooga has two of the most amazing schools in the country in private education, with Macaulay and Baylor. You know, Ted Turner went to Macaulay, and there's a crap ton of people graduated from Baylor. In fact, they, Paris English and Jaeger, played on the same high school team there at Baylor. And they've had a, and I'm going to, I guess he'll call me an assistant coach. I'm going to start helping Gary, and it's just for pennies. You know, it's not much money involved, but it kind of gets my foot in the door with a cool program, and I'm helping him starting Thursday. So, a little bit here. I'll probably be more helping his JV team and help develop some talent. I enjoy teaching the game. I love helping people and seeing them get better. And I've been helping a few friends around home since I've been home so much. So that's probably where God's leading me at this point. You know, I don't know where it is, but that's probably the direction I'm heading. We'll see. And I'd say if some solid player called me in the next week or two, then I would have to tell Gary that I'm gone again. You know, I got to follow this and make some money and try to, you know, provide. So I'm at a true crossroads right now. And, man, it's weighing on me. I've been really kind of worried about it. So, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a 65-year-old man standing here with my pants down around my ankles, not knowing what to do. It's kind of a tough spot. I'm still a happy boy. I got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful grandkids. I mean, I'm the happiest guy on the face of the earth, but whew, things are, I can't afford not to go to work. I have put away enough money, so I got to provide. So I'm at a crossroads.
Well, I'm rooting hard for you. I think anybody that's out there on tour that needs to get over the hump, guys that have knocked on the door, I mean, hell, I think Tommy Fleetwood should call you to get over the hump, for crying out loud. That guy can't seem to pull the trigger at the end to get over the hump. I think a Kip Henley would do wonders for him.
I pull so hard for that guy. He's a great guy. He's got a great caddy. And the tree, I call him Ian. He's as big as a tree. So he's got a good guy. But I think the golf world wants to see that W, don't I? Mean, 98% of the golf world wants Tommy Fleetwood to get that trophy, don't they? He seems like a cool guy.
One more before I let you go. And Kip, as you know, the McLemore is one of the sponsors of this show. And you've said outside of Pebble Beach, the 18th hole on the Highlands course at McLemore is the most beautiful hole you've ever seen. Have you been back up there to not only play that Highlands course, but also to check out the new one, the Keep?
Well, we played the Highlands about 2 weeks ago. Went up there, me and three buddies. Had a great day. We haven't played the Keep yet. It's been so blazing hot in Chattanooga, and you got to walk. And it's just so far away. It's like an hour away from me at least. So it's a pretty good hike to get up there. But we went and played the Highlands the other day and had a couple of older guys, so we couldn't be walking. Just had a great time. It's an amazing place. But I'm anxious to get over and play the Keep. I'm really good friends with Charlie Reimer. He's a dear friend, has been as sweet as pie to me and has begged me to come up there and play it, but just hasn't worked out yet. So I'm going to get up there and play it soon. But what an amazing place. And that new hotel, good gracious. They're going to make a go of that. If you're looking for a golf destination, I can't imagine going somewhere cooler than that.
And you and Charlie Reimer together playing golf. I think a lot of people would pay just to ride in a car next to you and listen to the stories of what it'd be like to watch the two of you together.
There ain't enough microphones in the room for me and Charlie if we were in there together. But I think him and I, he realized that, we weren't close as he was growing up. He was already became a tour player, but he might have heard of my name, in circles because of being from Chattanooga. He grew up playing the honors and stuff. And he was just an amazing player and went straight out on the tour and made his way. And he's such a gifted talker and storyteller. He's an amazing storyteller, but we're cut from the same cloth. And if I'd have been in Chattanooga where I was a club pro, instead of Crossville, we would have been tight because me and him, we just love to be, to talk to each other. We tell the exact same kind of stories the way we tell them, and they're telling with that country redneck twang about us.
Kip, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the things that you're out there doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, mostly I'm on Twitter. That's my that's where I have my biggest presence. But boy, I sure have been looking into this YouTube thing since I've had the time away. And if I was a little bit more techie, I'd be diving into that a million miles an hour. I need somebody to come to me that understands the tech world a little bit. I still think there's room for me in that world. Those YouTube guys, man, they're killing it in the world. The Barstool,
yeah,
they had their influencer thing, and they didn't, as far as I know, they didn't even consider me, and which kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. I felt like I was one of the grandfathers of social media with Twitter, and golf. And like 10 years ago, I had a girl tell me, Kip, you should be on YouTube. And I went, I'm not fooling with that. But that was a bad decision. I should have, because those cats have really, once COVID came around, those guys, man, they blew up and they've added to the game of golf. It's here to stay. It ain't going nowhere. YouTube golf, it's a big arena. And I think there's still room for me in that. And I might lean towards that way a little bit too and get a little bit more presence on the social media. So we'll see, Chris. But mostly just Twitter. And it's at Kip Henley, I think, what it is. I'm not even sure.
It is. Kip, you're the best, my friend. Like I say, I firmly believe that you belong in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. I don't understand how you're not already in it. I don't know what more a guy could do in and around the state. How many more wins? I'm scratching my head. You've won everything there is to win. I don't understand what they're waiting
for. The national scene kind of might be the whole of my career, but if they base it on a state career, they don't let me in, it's going to be hard for some boys to get in there. I've been around a long time and knocking heads with them a long time. But I sure do appreciate you being a great friend and a good advocate. So, Uncle Kip, you've always been my biggest fan, bud, and I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely. Kip, all the best to you and your family. Rooting hard for you. Hopefully we get an update from you in the very near future of something great happening for you, because you deserve it. You're one of the great people in this world. And I can't imagine how the golf gods and the sports gods couldn't be shining brightly on Kip Henley and making things happen. But you'll be in my prayers that God shines a light on you, because it deserves to be.
I'm a blessed boy, and I appreciate you, bud. Peace and love. Practice hard.
Here you go. Take care, Kip. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
You too, friend. Bye.
See you, Kipper. That is the great Kip Henley, folks. They just don't come better than that guy. And how he is an on a bag, how somebody is allowing that guy to sit on the couch and not be on the bag with them is a huge head scratcher. Just right up there with how the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame hasn't inducted this guy. I mean, there just literally is nothing else in the state of Tennessee that he hasn't won, that he could win, that would put him over the top. I mean, for crying out loud, Tennessee assistant pro champion, Tennessee section champion 4 times, Tennessee State Open champion 2 times, did it once as an amateur, then came back as a professional and did it in 97, been named the Tennessee Player of the Year 5 times, then the big break stuff and the Tennessee Senior State Open champion, and then was the, like he said, he was the top-ranked amateur this past year. So I don't get it. He definitely deserves to be in that Hall of Fame. And look, if you're a young guy or a young girl and you are just coming out onto any of the professional tours, or you're trying to get over the hump, how would you not reach out to Kip Henley? A guy who's experienced everything, been on the bag out there for many tour players. I mean, it's not just Brian Gay. He mentioned Vijay Singh as a bag that he was on Vijay's bag a couple of times, I believe, at the Masters. He was on the bag for Austin Cook, Boo Weekly, William McGirt, and other guys. I mean, this is a guy that can get you to where you want to go. He knows the golf swing. He knows the game. He knows pressure. He just is a person that you would want to have on your back, and he's fun to be around. So he can relieve the pressure and the stress as well. So hopefully somebody reaches out to Kip very soon. I look forward to hearing about that and getting him back on the show once that happens. Okay, coming up in this next segment is a guy that I know you're going to fall in love with, and you're really going to love their product. It's Aaron Waltz, the VP of Sales over at Unicor. Before I bring Aaron into the show, I want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at On Point Golf and their out-of-this-world On Point Golf Ball Marker. And if you don't have one, folks, you really need to go check it out at onpointgolf.us. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only 3-dimensional ball marker out there. With alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with OnPoint, engage with your 3-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023 and they were using an on-point ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use on-point ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. I also want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at Squares Golf.
So Nick here. What if there was a golf shoe embraced by hundreds of thousands of golfers, celebrated for its stability, comfort, and distance? What if this shoe earned the title of most technologically advanced golf shoe by Sports Illustrated? And what if the company behind that shoe spent the last year perfecting a brand new category of golf footwear? Well, the what if is here. Introducing the all-new Pro S2 LT by Squares, a new class all of its own, the perfect blend of lightweight comfort and stable performance. You'll notice the difference. Change your shoes, change your game. Squares.
Okay, now next on the tee with me is Aaron Waltz. Aaron is the VP of sales for our friends over at Unicor. You've heard me talking about how brilliant their launch monitors and simulators are for years with our friend Greg Sabella. Greg has now moved over to their Evenroll putter side of the business. Prior to joining Unicor, Aaron worked for TrackMan for 3.5 years. Prior to that, he spent nearly 10 years at Ferris State University up in Big Rapids, Michigan, as the director for their PGA Golf Management Program. And going all the way back to the early part of the 2000s, he was the head golf professional at Sylvania Country Club in Sylvania, Ohio, which is just outside of Toledo. And I'm excited. I get to spend some time with him this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Aaron, like I said, Greg Sabella was a wonderful friend of this show for several years. For our listeners who may not have been with us last time when Greg was a part of the show, remind everybody about who Unicor is and the great things that you guys are doing.
Sure. Unicor is an amazing launch monitor company that's been in the U.S. market for the past 6 years and internationally for almost 18 years. And we bring some of the best technology in the marketplace for golf simulation at one of the best price points available. And since Greg and I have been with the company, we've taken it another direction, not only as a launch monitor company, but also as a simulator company to provide the entire turnkey solution for, you know, home users and also commercial properties.
Let's expand on all of that, Aaron, because the in-home simulator market right now is all the rage. People are setting them up in their basements, in their garages, even in their spare bedrooms. They're not only great for helping us improve our games and practicing indoors, but they are bringing families together to spend more time with one another playing golf-related games. They're bringing friends together to play, not only in person, but also online from anywhere in the world so you can compete against them wherever they might be. Talk about how in-home simulators are becoming the new neighborhood barbecues and ways for friends and families to get together and spend more time with one another.
Well, absolutely. So golf simulation, you know, even when I was in college at Ferris State back in 1996, we had a place in little downtown Big Rapids that had a simulator, and it was the coolest thing in the world back then. But it really wasn't real. It was just something that you could go, you could hit golf balls. We would, you know, we'd have a little bit more of a social engagement, but it wasn't close to being real golf. Fast forward the clock, this whole in-home simulation market has now allowed golfers, beginners, recreational players to have a real golf experience at their home, which is super exciting. So whether it's in someone's garage, their basement, their specialty building, or even in their backyard with one of our portable units, you know, people can have a ton of fun playing virtual golf, practicing, training, and even competing against people from anywhere around the world, like you said, with online platforms.
You mentioned real golf, and the Game Day software is becoming so stunning and lifelike, and it features some courses that most of us would never have the ability to go play, like the Country Club of Roswell for my friends in Atlanta, or iconic courses like Pebble Beach and Tobacco Road, or others that are over in Spain or South Korea. Talk about how enhanced and lifelike the Game Day software has now become.
It's pretty phenomenal. So if you took what virtual golf was before, it's the similar, you know, I guess the biggest comparison was taking black and white television to the first big screen TV to HD TV to now 4K television. And that's what's happening in golf simulation. Golf simulation before was very much like a little video game. The graphics were very primitive. Elevation wasn't taken into consideration, LIDAR mapping, and all these variables to make the virtual golf experience as realistic as possible. Game Day software has come out with an unbelievable 4K solution with these top courses where LIDAR mapping has taken place, actual photos, and surveying the property occurs in person, and then you can take all those actual photos of the property plus the LIDAR data, mesh it together, and you get a damn near perfect golf experience, just as if you were playing it in person.
So for those folks that may have heard the term LIDAR before, and maybe the people who haven't, it is an amazing 3D technology. Talk about what LIDAR is.
LiDAR mapping really allows from satellites, from drones, to use, in essence, you know, radar scanning to go over top the property and capture all the undulation. You're seeing this in the home improvement industry too, where you can walk into a room with your iPhone and walk in a circle, and the LiDAR cameras on your phone will measure all your nooks and crannies of a room perfectly and create a 3D model. That happens outdoors by scanning all the elevations and different high and low points of the property. So when you're playing in that virtual golf environment, you're hitting shots exactly as intended.
You've also got something called iEngine Technology Plus Dimple and Club Optics. Talk about what those things are.
So when you look at the different simulator companies out there, everyone captures data a different way. You know, how do you capture the velocity of the golf ball and the moment of impact and what the club's doing? Our specific technology, the Dimple Optics technology, allows a golfer to use virtually any golf ball of their preference, and our cameras and infrareds lock into the pattern of that golf ball. So at the moment of impact, we get perfect revolution, spin, and velocity from that golf ball. And our cameras and infrareds also capture the golf club to provide the most realistic experience when you hit a golf shot.
That is all absolutely amazing. And what it's conjuring up for me, Aaron, is if I'm not sure exactly which golf ball is the right one for me, maybe I hit a TP5 or a TP5X, whatever it is, I can't go out and buy several dozen different golf balls, go to a driving range, hit them out there and lose them, right? I've got to try to figure out what is the right one for me. And you can't always replicate the how you're swinging that day or the course conditions or the weather conditions. Well, now with this Dimple Optics technology, are you telling me I can line up a bunch of different golf balls, hit them into the simulator, and now really hone in on what exactly is the perfect golf ball for my swing and my game?
Absolutely. And people are always, we get people searching for golf balls two different ways. Which one can I hit the farthest and straightest off the tee? Or which golf ball reacts the best for me around the green? And you can do that and do ball testing and club testing in that environment. So it's exciting. I've been a Titleist staffer for 20 years and, you know, playing every type of Titleist golf ball as you can imagine. It's always the new and improved Pro V1X, the new and improved Pro V1. They're always great golf balls. I don't hit it 10 yards farther every time a new golf ball comes out, but it always has a little bit of different characteristics. And the same thing, you mentioned the TaylorMade golf ball. I have friends that play the TaylorMade balls, or if I find one, I'm always very interested, like, how good is this golf ball? And I can throw it in on the sim, and I can see how those spin parameters compare to a golf ball that I've been playing for the last 25 years.
That's awesome. You mentioned around the green. You also have something called Refine and Refine Plus. Talk about how that can actually help us sharpen our short games and help us play better around the greens.
Correct. Yes. Some of the original software that was launched with our company is the Refine and the Refine Plus software. So there's 20 courses that are in the Refine Plus software suite, has a short game park. There's some different competitions and games that you can use with it. That software suite will eventually all move into the game day platform as things mature over the next probably 18 months, but it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun to be able to go into that short game park, work on specific shots. There's even a fun game where there's a barge floating in a river, and it's a competition. You gain points and the barge moves. There's a countdown clock. You have to hit three shots within so many seconds, and then the countdown buzzer starts hitting. We were playing that one New Year's in my garage, and we had a bunch of 10 to 12 year olds. And they're all beginning golfers. And it was so funny because when that shot, when the shot clock would hit the last 10 seconds, just watching these kids panic trying to hit shots on this barge was absolutely hilarious. So, of course, there were some adult beverages involved. So, all of us parents watching the kids just, you know, some of them they could swing and miss. So it didn't register it as a shot, which was good. And then they were trying to, you know, hit the ball on the barge. And, you know, and then of course, you know, the buzzers are going off as it ends. But, you know, the whole idea is great fun. interaction. You brought up the whole family scenario where, you know, for many people, it's hard to dedicate 6 hours to drive to the golf course, play, get done afterwards, maybe a little bit of socializing, and then come back. Where now, you know, if you've got a busy family and kids and other travel sports and things like that, or just life's busy, you can have a great golf experience in 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, or maybe it is 2 or 3 hours at your house, but you're spending time with your family instead of away from your family.
Yeah, so I think that's the great thing about what this package brings, Aaron, is the idea that, you know, we hear the phrase all the time, right, about growing the game. Well, here's an opportunity to grow the game, introduce it to your kids, and you're not spending those 6 hours away from half of your family or all of your family. What you're actually doing is getting them interested in the game. So whether you're starting out playing on some of these sims and then you transition as a family to go playing the game, right? Now, it's, you know, that 6 hours isn't so bad because you're all together and the game grows that way. I think this is a fantastic thing that people aren't aware enough of what good it is doing within our game to grow it.
You nailed it. You know, great example with my family. I've got 2 daughters. My oldest daughter plays college soccer. She's going to be a senior. And then my youngest was a freshman last year in high school. All 3 of them, you know, they're 3-sport athletes competitively. Plus, they know how to play golf. Well, last year, my daughter Emily and 6 of her soccer friends decided to go try out for the golf team. And it was funny. She goes, "Yeah, Dad, I'm gonna play golf in high school." I said, "Interesting." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I probably need some new equipment, right?" She had one of these, you know, entry level sets. I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "You really want to do this?" She said, "Yeah." So I called my Titleist rep. I'm like, "All right, let's load it up." And she's so funny. She's like, "Yeah, Dad, like, you know, we play Titleist stuff, right?" I'm like, "Yes, we play Titleist stuff." So I get her all loaded up. And I've never forced my kids to play golf as a golf pro. I've taught them the game, but I've wanted them to want to play, right?
Yeah.
Well, with, you know, I have a simulator at my house and her friends would come over and it was really fun. Well, fast forward the clock, she learned how to play on the simulator. And she earned a varsity letter and was able to go to states with the team last year as a freshman. And that's, she never had played a competitive round of golf before. It was phenomenal. And now she says to me, she goes, "Daddy, I'm not going to play soccer in college. I'm playing golf."
There you go.
How about that?
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. You know, you introduce the game to them in a way that it is fun and they get to do the things like you saying, hit the ball onto the barge and all that kind of stuff. It gets the fun and excitement kind of stirred up, and then you never know where that can lead. And look where it led for your daughter. That's a wonderful success story.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if she decides to play college golf or not, that's really up to her. But this is a game that she'll carry with her the rest of her life. My oldest daughter did her finance internship this past year, and her owner said the same thing. "Can you play golf?" She said, "Yes." He goes, "Good, because we do entertaining on the golf course."
Right. That's where a lot of business gets done, right? That's where you get to know people, you build relationships and that sort of thing. But it all starts you having a good time with your family, introducing them the game, and it just grows and spreads from there.
Absolutely. Because if it's not fun or if it's difficult, and that's where it's a little, golf outdoors initially is very demoralizing. You go to a driving range and you've got this huge driving range. People are watching, and as a beginner, you're going to miss the golf ball or only hit it a couple feet. And it's not a whole lot of fun. Indoors, if you miss a golf shot, you don't have to look at it. it goes away right away. Or you add in one of the interactive games or one of the putt-putt games or something like that. So you instantly are engaged in having fun with it. And I think we've all, you know, it kind of goes back to my university days teaching PGA curriculum. The PGA Constitution was not exciting. But you had to come up with fun ways to keep the students engaged with it and enjoy what the content is.
Yeah, Aaron, I think it's like what you mentioned a moment ago, the demoralizing part of our game when you're a beginner. Right? When you're dribbling the ball and you're not hitting it and it's going all over the place and people are watching and all that sort of thing, it can really squelch a kid's desire to continue to play. But if you develop your swing a little bit by playing all of these different games and you're having fun with it, yeah, it takes that piece out. It takes that demoralizing portion of the game out. It replaces it with this fun component. And now all of a sudden you're hitting the ball in the air a little bit more. That's fun. You're developing your game and your swing a little bit more. And now you can transition that stuff out to the actual golf course. And especially if you're doing that as a family. All right, I've got a little game now and I can progress from there. As opposed to the old way where maybe I stink and now I'm not going to play the game anymore.
You nailed it. And this is the time when COVID hit, everything shut down and golf courses and the golf community were the first to be open as an outdoor sport. So all these people came out of the woodwork to just try golf or do something, right? Golf related. And it became exceptionally popular. I call them the COVID golfers because they came out of the woodwork and they never had touched a golf club before. And as things transitioned, they kept going hardcore in the virtual golf world, or what they call the non-green grass, which is the non-golf course segment. So there's more people playing virtual golf today than actually play rounds of golf outdoors. Wow. Which is just phenomenal. I mean, it's really exciting to see. And it's not, you know, it's not like playing a, you know, Tiger Woods 2025 on your PlayStation. Yeah, I mean, you're physically playing golf.
Yeah. So there's the exercise, right? Component of it as well. So there's just so many wins that this brings. So kudos to you guys for how you're continuing to refine this thing. As the family starts to play and gets in there, right? If I'm in that simulator and I'm starting to use, whether it's the game day or whatever software I'm using, can I get multiple profiles set up so everybody can kind of track their progress and see their numbers change?
You sure can. So that's the cool thing about this whole virtual world. Our different software suites, we have software suites for performance training, AI body scanning, a balance mat that shows where your weight transition's moving from the top of your swing to your follow through, and then the virtual golf suite. So when you get into performance training, everyone can have their own individual profile. You can map your golf shots. So for example, I'll go back to my daughter. She didn't know how far any of her golf clubs went. So we went through and we mapped her set, and we could look at the outliers that you hit that one really good. You didn't hit that one well. Let's start to look at what those average distances are. So when she went out to play golf, she was right there. We just talked about that this morning on her way to golf practice, her driving distance this year compared to where she was last year and what the difference is and how she's starting to remap her bag so she can make the correct decisions out on the golf course in competition.
So that's got to be another part of the exciting piece of this, right? If I'm a beginner and I can only hit my drive 50 yards, whatever it is, right? And as I look back over time, you know, I hit it 50 yards, now I'm hitting it 75, now I'm hitting at 100 and a quarter, now I'm hitting at 175, now I'm hitting at 200, right? To be able to map your progression through the game has got to be another piece that keeps kids involved, because now I can actually see numbers that are telling me I'm getting better.
Absolutely. It's almost a page out of the trainer book, you know? So if you and I were, you know, we wanted to go to the gym and work with a trainer, and our ultimate goal is we want to get strong. And they put you in there and you do that bench press test that they want, and it's the bar and, you know, a couple of 25ers. And you're like, that was really hard. 6 weeks later, you can do it 10 times. Well, you can see right away that you're stronger because of that physical weight. In the golf world, unless you have something to really digitally measure and track, it's hard to quantify how much better I'm getting at hitting the golf ball. And, you know, even our impact videos are so important because a beginning golfer is going to hit the golf ball all over the face of an iron and a driver. But as they refine their game, they're closer to the sweet spot and they can see exactly where they're hitting that golf ball and feel the difference as they're seeing the positive numbers.
You mentioned AI a moment ago, and you guys have an AI trainer component that looks amazing and a little scary as well. It looks like a way to have a virtual coach right there in the room with us. Talk about what the AI trainer can do.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of components to to AI, you know, and some people use the word AI as a marketing tool, and other people actually use AI as a means to improve things. We use AI as a means to help you improve your golf swing and golf game. So it's a two-camera setup that's proprietary to our software. It interfaces with every golf swing you hit if you have the cameras. When you hit a shot, it measures specific body positions through 8 parts during the golf swing, from setup to follow through, and then it scores each of the 8 positions, and you get a very good, a good, or a poor, like, is if you failed the position. So within those 8 steps, you can go back through and see what positions you passed or which positions you may have failed. And a failure doesn't mean you have to change anything, but oftentimes a failure is a limit in your body positions. So for example, let's just say a senior golfer who had a football injury from college or high school, that may prevent that golfer from getting the golf club in a correct body position. So they may always fail that segment of the golf swing, but they're consistent every time, and it shows where that failure is, and it gives you an end score at the end. So it's a non-emotional approach to seeing where your body position is during the golf swing. Within each segment, you can then drill down, and it'll show you the failure with an illustration, and then it'll give you just a couple little bit of tips. There's no video analysis, like, you know, videos that pop out and say, here's a mini golf lesson, but it does all the hard and heavy lifting for you. It auto-telestrates. It puts in an awesome, you know, a swing tracer in there, but it's a super valuable tool for the golfer that really wants to work on their game and get better.
Aaron, just a couple more before I let you go. And I saw that you guys have added Akshay Bhatia to your growing list of brand ambassadors since the last time I spoke with Greg. Talk about the other players on tour. Who are those brand ambassadors that are now a part of your team?
Sure. So when you look at the players on tour, it's exciting. So, you know, Cameron Champ's been with us, I want to say, pretty much from day one, but just a great human, you know, a multiple-time winner on the tour. He had an injury, I think, a year and a half ago that took him off tour for almost a full year as he rehabilitated, but just a phenomenal athlete. You'll see him with ball speed. He's one of the hardest swingers out there on tour. And then his father and his foundation that they have in California and what they do for youth is just absolutely phenomenal. Just a great human and an awesome ambassador for us. Bo Hostler, you know, we brought Bo on, I think, about a year and a half ago. Same thing. He's been really close to the winner's circle over the past couple years. So he's one of those players. There's so many great players on tour, but he's one of those that's just, it's not if, it's going to be a when. So he's always right there. He's in contention. You know, again, just another great athlete. And then, you know, a few of our female players. So Lily Heath, she's the one that you see in the commercials all the time, you know, very, you know, accomplished player. And then we have some of our international players that, you know, some people may not know in the U.S. market yet that are, you know, moving on to the LPGA Tour, that are very successful in Korea.
So Aaron, as we look out into the future, can you give us a peek under the tent? I'm not asking you to give away any trade secrets or anything like that, but, you know, some of the cool things that you guys are working on that may come out onto the market, whether it's later this year or maybe something you guys are looking to introduce at the PGA Merchandise Show in January?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, a couple of the really important things that when you look at the virtual golf segment, it means something different for everybody. So for some people, it's, I want to have fun. Other people, it's competition. So the Game Day platform has laid the foundation work for online competition. So it gives us the ability to, and it's kind of a teaser. When you turn on Game Day right now, there's a little bit of a league and tournament tab that's grayed out. Those are some cool things that are happening in the background. So to have the ability for people of all skill levels to compete against each other around the world is pretty cool. So all that's in development. You know, if it was, you know, if they took every one of my ideas, you know, we'd probably have to hire, you know, 400 more developers. But if you could think of how fun would it be to have daily, you know, closest to the pin contest and like little mini games that it could be short distances. It doesn't matter. And then, you know, give away cool prizes, whether it's out of our swag closet or if you want to do some different type of competitions. I love to compete. And I think at the heart, most people do too. So if you can, as people build their profile and online handicap, you can then put people in different divisions. So they're competing against other people in the same ability level. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. All right, so let's recap. So tell me about the whole package that I need to order and have in my house that is going to make my buddies completely jealous of me.
Well, if you really want to be the envy of your friends, your neighborhood, and the world, you install one of our custom sims. So this is where our team can come in, and assuming you have the correct space, we can come in and help you choose one of about 150 colors or textiles for your wall covering, custom ceiling protection, turf with an inlaid hitting area, putting cups, the cameras, launch monitor, computer station, touch screens, everything you need to have the most amazing experience in the world. And those packages for us, you know, we could talk dollars and cents, but it's usually $38,000 to $45,000 for a complete custom system, which is awesome. Or many customers just don't have, or residents don't have the kind of space. So in their garage or in a different spot in their home, they can do one of our kit setups. So then they can decide how big their space is and be able to do a DIY setup with one of our simulator kits and the launch monitor of their choice, and then decide what grade of projector and computer and things like that they want to power their system. And then you're into that, let's call it that 12 to 20,000 range, somewhere in there. So it's still, you know, it's a luxury item, a golf simulator at the end of the day, but it's becoming more and more affordable.
Yeah.
As the years go on.
Yeah. And kind of like what we've been alluding to throughout this whole conversation is, you know, what's it worth to you to be able to spend that fun time with your family and your friends, right? And developing that kind of recreational activity, having that time together, getting something that, you know, the kids are going to want to then grow up and play the sport. And then, like I say, it's kind of a way to, it's a little different spin on the neighborhood barbecue where you're having your friends over and now you're doing something a little bit different, maybe an adult beverage or two, maybe there's some chicken wings involved, but you're out there and you're having fun. And then the opportunity for the folks that aren't close by, right? Your buddies that might live in a state or two away or a whole continent away, you can still play and compete against one another virtually. All of that together seems like it's a pretty good package.
It really is. And on-course availability is really difficult these days. There's certain markets where there's just not that many golf courses for the number of golfers. Or if you want to join a private country club in a mid-level market, a private country club may cost you $50,000 to join and $10,000 or $15,000 a year just to maintain that. So really the price of putting in, you know, a home simulator is more and more affordable for those that traditionally were joining a nice private club.
Yeah, if you want to start to make the math start mathing, right? If you're paying for your wife and two kids and you're going to go play a round of golf, $100 a person, $400 a round, you play, I don't know what, once a week? Now all of a sudden, you're looking at $1,600 a month in golf fees to go play. You start factoring in time at the range because once a week isn't going to get your son or daughter to the level they need to get at. They're going to need to play more. You're going to need to get out to the range more. And suddenly you start adding all of that up. It starts to make a lot more sense to have an in-house simulator.
It really does. And then some of our customers, you know, depending upon how their space is, you stream TV on it too. So you buy a 4K projector to go with your golf simulator, and you get a beautiful image, and you can put a Sonos system on there. And the next thing you know, you're watching videos. Or people that have younger kids, they can do different things with the system. So it's not just a golf simulator. You can stream TV, sports. If you want to play video games on it, you can play video games. Absolutely. I had a customer who was, he was retired, and he loved to bird hunt. Well, he actually had a bird hunting simulator that he could load into his gaming computer, and he would shoot pheasant.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm like, this is unbelievable. He's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. My golf simulator, and I can pheasant hunt also wow. in my golf simulator. So that's how wide this is. And, you know, if you think that kids playing a video game on a 55-inch HD TV, that you throw a video game on a screen that's 16 feet wide and 9 feet high.
No, talk about immersive.
Their neck's getting exercised because the screen's so big.
Yeah, now I'm watching the Steeler games on Sunday. You kidding me? This is awesome.
And I do that. If I'm working out in my garage, I'll fire up the sim and I'll be streaming something in the sim while I'm in there. So when the Masters is on, I've got Masters streaming on Hulu. I'm hitting golf balls. I mean, it is, you know, life is good. Life is a lot better when you have a golf simulator in your house, I must say.
Indeed. Aaron, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you guys are out there doing, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, be sure to, you know, visit our website at unicore.com and all of our social platforms. So whether it's, you know, whether it's LinkedIn, which we have a lot of our business solutions on there for people that are looking to invest in this market segment, Facebook, Instagram, you know, across the board, you can always see some of our exciting things happen. Follow, like, you know, all the traditional avenues.
Aaron, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and be a part of the show. I hope you'll come back soon, maybe in a few months as we get ready for the holiday season, to update us on what's going on and all the great things that you guys have to offer. Remind everybody about it, because I can't imagine a better holiday gift for dad or the golfer in your life than one of these simulators.
I agree. Santa needs a bigger sleigh.
Indeed. Aaron, all the best to you and your family, my friend. All the best, and we'll catch up again soon.
I look forward to it. You too.
Thanks, Aaron. That is Aaron Waltz, folks, again, at Unicore. UNEEKOR is how it is spelled. He is the VP of sales there. And how fantastic are these things? I mean, if you're not dying to get one in your house, if you weren't already, and now listening to this conversation, I tell you what, talk about a great thing to help the family and friends have a good time with one another. It's a great way to get together and spend time. Look, as Aaron was talking about through the course of the conversation, when you're going to go play a round of golf, you're away from the family. Goodness knows. I mean, if we can get around in 4 hours, that's amazing. Usually it takes at least five. And then the travel to and from, and as he talked about, you know, a little socialization in there. And next thing you know, the day's over and you haven't spent time with your family at all. So now you have that opportunity to spend that time together. You have a way to grow the game and make it fun and make it one that your kids will then have for a lifetime. He talked about that too. So you have all of that, right? And then you have the AI trainer component that can help your game get better. You have the way to track and all the data that comes with the simulator. So you have all of that to be able to see as you progress. You have a way to test out all the different golf balls. How many times have we said to ourselves, you know, I kind of like this golf ball and I'd love to be able to try all the different ones and hit many shots, but what are you going to do? You're going to go buy a couple of dozen of each one of those golf balls and go out to the driving range and hit them out there so you don't have those anymore? Are you going to trust that, you know, when you're playing this round, that it's exactly the same as when you're playing another round with another golf ball? Now you have a way to figure that out. And then you marry all of that with a way to stream things. Like, I can watch the Masters on this thing. I can watch the NFL Sunday Ticket on this thing. I can see my Steelers every Sunday on this screen. How do you lose in all of that? It's absolutely fantastic. Again, UNEEKOR, Unicore. Go out there and check them out online. We'll try to get Aaron back on the show as we get closer to the holidays, because we probably all need just a little more nudge to get that thing done for the golfer in your life. We'll catch up with him again soon. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this extremely fun edition of Next on the Tee. I hope you really enjoyed these four guys. My sincere thanks again to Bruce Devlin, Ron Cyrak, Kip Henley, and Aaron Waltz for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are our resident director of instruction, Tom Patrick, will be back, as will a mutual good friend of ours, Frank Darby. Both of those guys are from New York and spent a long time in the Met section. I'm going to do a little crossover between the two of them. because we're going to dive deeply into the Ryder Cup and Bethpage Black. Then in part two, I'll be joined by the founder of Squares Golf, Bob Winskowitz. And Bob is an outstanding individual, knows so much about ground forces and what can help us gain distance by just changing our shoes. We've talked about some really sneaky things that can help us play better out there. We've talked about some sunglasses that are outstanding from the guys over at John Doe Sports. And now we're going to talk about Squares golf shoes. And look, there's a reason why Nick Faldo bought a piece of the company the minute he tried those golf shoes. So Bob's an outstanding individual. Like I say, he knows so much. He is so much fun as well. So looking forward to having him back as part of the show. And I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. For coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triblive.com. And then you're going to find the sports section tab. If you click on that, you're going to see the most recent episode of the show front and center for you on the homepage of the sports section. If you click on sports and then podcast network, then click on the next on the T logo. Many of the most recent episodes are going to be right there for you front and center on that tab. So I hope you'll check it out and subscribe to triblive.com in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You can also find this show over on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, GolfNewsNet.com. Pretty much anywhere you get your golf content, you're going to find this show on there as well. And a huge thank you, as always, to the great folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast right there on your favorite device. But most of all, like I say, each and every week, my biggest thanks go out to each and every one of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. Until next week, hit them straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on Trib Live or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.